Back together again, you and I chatting it up midweek Wednesday, May 8th, 2024 on Connecticut Today, where we featured on the show a live update from the Capitol with the final day of the legislative session ticking down. Hearst Connecticut Media editor and columnist Dan Haar joined us with the highlights. Quinnipiac University graduate interactive media and communications program director Professor John Powers chimed in on the show also about TikTok's legal response to a possible ban in the U.S. Dan Haar joins us for his regular check-in midweek Wednesday. Hearst Connecticut Media editor and columnist. Mr. Haar, good afternoon, sir, and how are you on this fine day?
Good afternoon. This is a big midweek here.
Yes. So listen, there's what, like 6 hours and change to go with the Capitol. What do you hear? What are you sniffing around on? What's going on?
Well, right now the big news is that the Senate, which has some fairly significant stuff to do, they're not doing, for example, the significant housing bill,
okay,
or the significant so far.
Yeah.
Or they're doing a lot of little stuff. They're not doing what we consider to be, you know, the sort of high throughput bills. The other one is 5004. That's the climate change bill.
Yeah.
Now, before anybody gets too excited about the lack of a climate change bill, it's a watered-down version of what the advocates had hoped to see.
Mm-hmm.
But nonetheless, it is this year's version of the big omnibus climate change bill, which does mainly incentives for clean energy. And that's not nothing. That's not insignificant thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
And we're hearing the word life support has come up. Why is it on life support? I don't know. But that's what we're hearing. And so far, it's stuff like that. And we're looking at what the Senate is doing, and it's just a bunch of stuff that doesn't interest the public too much. You know, not to say it isn't important public work that has to get done, but, you know, it's things like, you know, when you adjust the regulations and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. There was, Dan, the big buzz that you obviously saw this morning and I talked about earlier today, kind of this staring down contest between Steve Harding on the Senate Republican side and Marty Looney on the Senate Democratic side about a couple of bills like the climate emergency or whatever it is, or the climate concern bill, and also the funding for striking workers. Any changes on that? Are you hearing anything there?
The issue on the funding for striking workers is that the House passed it, you know, quickly in 5 minutes as a compromise.
Yeah.
And that, just to get the listeners up to speed, one of the big and controversial bills this year, before it was a House bill, was to give strike pay to striking workers after 2 weeks. Right. And you may say, well, we certainly don't want to pay strikers. You know, that's a stupid idea, blah, blah, blah. But it actually has the effect of decreasing the frequency and length of strikes.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Now, you could argue that it swings the balance of power back into the union's hands by giving the company a disincentive to allow a strike.
Yeah.
But it nonetheless does increase the likelihood of settlement. So that it has a public policy good. The compromise was to put money in the hands of the state controller, who happens to be Sean Scanlon at the moment and is a pro-labor Democrat, as all controllers have been for the last 30 years. its worded in such a way as that the controller would give money to low-income people who are striking or something like that. And so the House Republicans went along with it, and the Senate Republicans are balking.
And did I read too, Dan, that the governor is kind of like, he's a little like, in theory, he's okay with it, but he's a little greasy as to how this whole thing is being done?
I have not heard, other than the rumor you're just citing, I have not heard the governor or his people tell me or mm-hmm. the media generally his view of that bill. So the short answer is I don't know, but it's this governor, unlike the previous governor Malloy, with this governor, there's a lot more guessing that goes into his view is of bills. With Malloy, There wasn't a lot of guessing.
No, no, no. And he was proud of that. I think the word porcupine comes up. All right. So finally, in the 6 hours or change we have left, give me two examples. Give me one example of something you think is going to be acrimonious but will pass, and then something that's going to be acrimonious and maybe die on the vine till next session.
Housing is going to be acrimonious and probably die.
Okay.
There's a lot of the things that by the time they get to the last day, they're diluted. And the housing bill that was essentially, it was a version of the bill from the House Majority Leader, Jason Rojas. And it does some things to help tenants, but it's not the big one, you must give a person a new lease unless you have a reason.
Yeah.
That was called just cause eviction. It's a misnomer because the end of a lease is not, in my opinion, an eviction. And I wrote a column calling that just cause chaos, as you call. The version of that House bill I'm guessing it is going to pass, but I could be very wrong. And let's go with the acrimonious bill that won't pass as being the climate change bill.
Okay.
But let's toggle between those two, right? And let us say that one of them will and the other won't pass. Oddly, the House seems to be pretty caught up, and the House doesn't have any really big Senate business to do, with the exception of, hold on, let me just look.
Okay.
Before you sign me off here.
No, that's all right.
Just look at my cheat sheet
all
here.
Right.
I got a sheet of things that I'm following. I mean, there are a lot of things that are big to someone.
Yeah.
You know? They're not necessarily big public policy debate bills, but they're big, and they hang in the balance. For example, the House passed the bill extending telehealth, right? When you go to your doctor, your doctor can bill for a session that, whether it's a psychologist, psychiatrist, your doctor can bill for a session over video, which you think of as being normal, standard post-COVID practice. But it turns out that bill has to be re-upped every 2 years, and it expires if they don't re-up it.
Mm.
And that's bill number 5198. It's passed the House, and it's sitting in the Senate. Now, is that a big deal? It is to somebody, you know, and there's lots of things like that. To some extent, it's a waiting game. There's one, for example, that was passed in the Senate and is awaiting action in the House, where wrongly convicted people who sue the state and get a bunch of money. It would be much easier to do that. I won't go into technically what it does, but it would be much easier to do that under this bill, which is only fair. There was a guy who was in jail for 30 years for a crime he didn't commit.
Wow.
Right? That has to go through the House. Now, is that a big, important policy that you and I are going to discuss? I don't think so, but it's an adjustment that affects, you know, somebody's life tremendously.
Sure.
So there's a lot of stuff like that.
All right.
And the bottom line is, the only thing I can tell you is that
at this point,
some will and some will not get done.
All right. Well, listen, Dan Haar, thank you for being our eyes and ears. Enjoy the last few hours there. Take care. Drive safely, and we'll chat with you next week. Thank you, sir.
A fun day in the Granite Hall.
Yes, the Granite Hall. Dan Haar. Dan, thank you. Hearst Connecticut Media editor and columnist, walking the halls of the state capitol. And to give us his perspective on this, we've had him on the show before, Professor John Powers. He directs the Graduate Interactive Media and Communications Program at Quinnipiac University. Hey, John, it's Paul again. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, Paul. Thanks for having me on today.
And thanks for taking the time to come back, John. I appreciate it. I think the last time we spoke on this, there was kind of saber-rattling in Congress. Nothing had been voted on. Well, guess what? It passed the House. It passed the Senate. Now it was attached to a funding bill. Joe Biden signed it. TikTok is not happy. The company is not happy. A lot of people who use this thing to advertise is not happy. The intelligence community says, we don't care that you're not happy because this is a bad thing. And now we have the threat of a lawsuit. So, John, where do we stand on this?
You know, it's a very, very interesting scenario. And there's also another group, and that's the 175 million Americans who use TikTok most hours of their day, as it seems to be the case.
Right.
But it's a very, it's a very interesting situation where we have concerns over national defense. As you and I talked about in the past, one of the very, very rare occasions in this day and age when both political parties seem to agree, for the most part, is a bipartisan, easy, if you will, pass through Congress. So something is a brew there. And then you have all the First Amendment concerns where a TikTok in their lawsuit is sort of bringing up the First Amendment and their why are they being singled out and all this sort of thing. So it's quite interesting for sure.
Yeah, and the thing that I found out months ago in researching this, a lot of people don't realize, John, and I was talking about it with some colleagues today at Connoisseur, you know, radio stations, TV, online, we're all essentially in the advertising business. You have a lot of businesses out there, John, who have gone on national media saying, if this happens, I get ruined because the only advertising and or media I do is on TikTok. And I was surprised, frankly, how many people say that and that landscape.
It is true. And TikTok, of course, you know, has a very broad audience as far as reaching people with your advertising dollars. And you can target different groups of people through TikTok advertising. And so, both through paid advertising and just using TikTok organically, there are many influencers who make their living that way. There are movements and nonprofits who use TikTok to spread their message. So it will definitely have an impact.
So I have read, John, that there are people looking at this, maybe Facebook, maybe Microsoft. I remember when Donald Trump was in office and he threatened to shut it down. You know, Walmart was considered to be one of the suitors there. The price tag I saw was something like $50 billion. But at least at first blush, ByteDance, the company that insists, John, it's not beholden to the Communist Party, they keep saying they have no intention of selling. I wonder, if somebody waved $50 billion in front of somebody, do you still say no, or maybe they don't care?
Well, it's a great point. And one of the arguments against TikTok is that if ByteDance does not take $50 billion, for example, as you mentioned, that leads one to assume that there are other things going on with that company and the Chinese government, and maybe they won't sell at any price. There are, you know, that type of valuation and all of the technology and the complications of moving that technology from China and separating from the Chinese section of the app to the United States, the approval that would need to take place from the Chinese government, from the U.S. government, for a new buyer, is just extraordinarily complicated. And, you know, many people feel that even if they were willing to sell, it could be almost impossible to do in the time frame that they're given.
Yeah, Quinnipiac University Professor John Powers joins us about the TikTok situation. John, I guess, and for people who may not understand this, explain this to my listeners. The real guts of this thing here is the source code, right? I mean, we have great IT people, but unless somebody actually gives you or grants you access or sits down with you and explains that source code, which is alleged to be manipulative by ByteDance or China to America, it's awfully hard to figure out, isn't it?
Absolutely. And again, the engineering that would need to take place to move that, to separate it and bring it to the United States. And that's, again, if ByteDance was willing to allow their technology to now be owned by someone else. And would they need to, how would that work? It's a very complicated situation. And as you said, it goes back to both the national security concerns that Congress talks about frequently, that the Chinese government may have access to all this information on American citizens and how that could be manipulated, but also the concerns over the use of the algorithm that mm-hmm. TikTok has, that you know, the influence that TikTok has on 175 million participants, and how that, you know, people have claimed that TikTok can be turning Americans against its own government, influence the Israel-Palestinian situation, you know, and more, and on and on and on. And you balance that all against the First Amendment rights that we as Americans enjoy, where people will say, let me receive whatever information I want to receive, and I'll make the decisions about what to believe and not to believe.
And John, I mean, obviously I would think, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I don't think I am, I would think we have the best and brightest, you know, IT people and app people. I mean, we could create if we want. We have a framework with other systems. I mean, it's no sweat to actually create an American form of TikTok, right? The question would be just, right, what, convincing millions of people to migrate over to that?
And that's exactly true. And certainly, if this goes through and over time TikTok fades away, you know, as the app is not able to be updated and so forth, certainly Meta, you know, Instagram, Facebook, Snapchat, YouTube, all sorts of other players are, I'm sure, ready to try to capture the attention of those 175 million people on TikTok in the United States at the moment.
Yeah, finally, John, I love to ask this of college professors when I have you guys and gals on. What are your students saying, if anything, or maybe just people you come into contact with? And are they flipping out, John? Do they need duct tape to hold their heads together? What's going on?
There is great concern.
Great concern. I like that.
Yes. There is definitely great concern, both for my students and family members and others.
Are you talking them off the ledge, John? Is that what you're trying to do?
A little bit, but it's not. There's a lot of concern. I can tell you that TikTok, and Instagram and some others, YouTube, are a major source of entertainment, mm-hmm. of emotional support, you know, for many, many, many millions and hundreds of millions of people.
Yeah.
And also the source of news.
News, and, yes.
And that we can have a whole debate about another time, or discussion about, and how important it is for our society to start taking social media literacy important in the schools, young children, to understand how to, you know, decipher what's true and what's not, and what's misinformation and what's factual content.
Yeah. Thanks to Professor John Powers. He directs the Graduate Interactive Media and Communications Program at Quinnipiac University. John, always good to chat with you. We'll follow this and keep in touch. Thanks.
Thank you, Paul. Appreciate it. Take care.
Appreciate it. Yeah, thank you. Yeah.